CNOS Podcast, Season 2, Show Number 35. My name is Anthony Tormacchio. Ricardo Santomaggio and Mark Fiorenti are with me as well. How are we, guys?
Yeah, good, mate. Good, good. We're just in the process of getting our club going for this season coming. And it's looking pretty good. So we've just became official. That's the Juventus club, Doc Melbourne, Gigi Buffon.
I was about to say, it's not actually Juventus because they're not...
It's official fan club. So, well, 10-year anniversary. It's pretty good. 10 years. Huge. That's a decade there, yeah.
Big plans coming up.
Yeah. Big get-together, big plans. And looking forward to it. Mark, how are you?
I'm very well. I'm sorry, but also will say you're welcome because we just became official. Because I got notice of renewing the membership. I've been a member of the club for 6-7 years. And I got a number of text messages, and I was like, oh, gee, I'll get to that. And I walked in here tonight, and I said, there's two things I'm going to do, one of which is going to be sign up myself and two others, my father and my brother, and lo and behold, we now became official on the back of that. So you're welcome.
Well done. But well also, done. Sorry. I think, Tim, mate, come on.
1 week to go. Cut off is August 6th.
Sunday. Yeah.
Or Sunday, or whatever it might be. If you don't know about the club, you can jump on our socials and ask us questions. We can send you all the info for the 2023 and 2024 season.
Yeah, if you want to come down, look us up. We'll be watching majority of the home games.
Absolutely.
It's a fun club to be a part of, and anybody that comes through that door at HQ at 48 Hours in South Yarra, the pizzeria, Mr. Australia, champion of pizzeria, Michele and Fabio, they do a great job here. Mm. Yeah, more than welcome to come and be part of this Pazzo Juventino family.
The season kickoff, 20 days' time. Yeah. 3 weeks yesterday, we'll more than likely watch that game here. It's 4:45 on Sunday the 21st, so...
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. No reason not to.
And
we don't miss the openers, that's for sure.
Mm. I'm a little bit concerned already because there's not much movement on the transfer market. We've got a lot of dead wood we have to get rid of.
Yes.
I.e. Zachariah, McKinney, and a couple of others. I'm not happy what I'm hearing about Ravella, being loaned out again. But look, there's a lot of things that I'm scratching my head. Even Lukaku, even that deal that we didn't know about. And also, too, guys, just one thing that I am frigging frustrated. When we know as supporters that there are players that are injured. Oh, that's a bit of distortion. Now,
that sounds like the
guys,
sound of someone.
If someone's injured, I'd rather the club let their fans know that they're injured. Mm-mm. Now, I'm talking about Vlahovic, if he's got osteopubis, OP, call what you will. We know about Progba. But I'm just frigging frustrated because...
We don't need updates on Pogba because he doesn't play.
Yeah, he doesn't play, but the thing is...
We get updates when he does play.
Well, that's it. On Instagram.
Do you know what the issue is, though? I don't think they're ever going to say that because if they are trying to sell him, that's not really...
Well, the Vlahovic one is the one I'm... And Chiesa... Look, Chiesa, we know he's... Like, the first game we'll talk about in a minute, but... Chiesa needs to stay. Vlahovic, I've got a question mark. I'd rather him stay at the club for another year.
Mm.
But, you know, they've got injuries or whatever. We should know about it. You know, us fans, we should know about it.
No, we should, but it's not going to happen. It's like when Pogba was coming back to us. Like, I'm sure you can do medicals and do all you like, but at the end of the day, it's about actually playing physically on a pitch, which is when you're going to see the issue of osteitis pubis or Pogba's injuries and all that stuff. You know, I'm sure Juventus didn't just go, oh, yeah, Pogba's got an injury, let's just take him. Like, he would have passed the medical, and then the issues would have happened after that. I don't think Juventus or any other club is ever going to say that Vlahovic has a big issue. They'll keep it quiet, and then...
What?
They'll especially try and get their money, and that's it. Yeah,
this is when Progba comes back to training. Sabotage! That's his song. Nah, look, guys, seriously, it is sabotage, yeah? can't stand it. I think Pogba planned it. No, but honest truth is, guys, what do we say about our club at the moment? Because I'm not confident. I actually am worried. Mm. I think not much has changed, to be honest with you.
Oh, Gwindley's got one hell of a job. Yeah.
He's got a big job.
He's got to get rid of, as you say, the dead wood first. We can't. This is not FIFA 23 where you can trade players willy nilly and easily do it.
Yeah,
he's got budgets to work within. We've just got some bad news 48 or so hours ago. That comes into the equation as well. We'll talk about that shortly too. He's got to sell players first.
Absolutely.
Balance some books. Get some money in, considering we're not in Europe next season. Didn't make top four, etc. So he's got one hell of an enviable task on his hands.
Is this a rebuild?
I think
is this a rebuild? Because look at our list. Is it a rebuild, a big rebuild, a semi, or what?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think... at the moment, I don't think it's a rebuild. Right? I think
so
at
you reckon
the moment,
patches? Just patching places?
Yeah, I think it's a... Like, it's almost like a new journey, which might sound like a rebuild, but I think it's a... You know, get rid of a couple of players. When we're talking a rebuild, we're talking about, you know, almost a brand new squad.
Yes.
We're talking about fresh players, not you know, retaining most of them, which at the moment we have.
Yeah.
I think we're going to know whether it's a rebuild by the end of the transfer market.
Are you concerned that he played 3-5-2 against AC Milan? We're going to get into this game, but I'm concerned that he hasn't really changed.
No, well...
No, I think that's the...
Did you expect
formation.
Him to change?
I thought he would revert maybe to a fullback system, or maybe, but he doesn't want... He won't. He won't do this.
I don't think so.
If he's still there... I think that the project will continue. He won't. He didn't change the way he coached when he came back, and I don't think he's going to do it
again. He's stubborn. He will not change nothing.
He will.
It's the same. It will be the same thing this year.
It will. It will. Which is unfortunate. But you know, with the whole transfer market at the moment, you also got. We're talking about dead wood. We got rid of Cuadrado. He's the only player that is in the starting team, There's obviously other players that have been loaned out, whatever, but they're not in the starting team. He's gone, and Timothy Ware has come in and replaced him. So that makes sense.
And to his credit, he looks explosive. He's got pace to burn. Which is a very good
pickup. I think we're not going to see any... I don't think we're going to see new players until the other players are definitely gone. There's a lot of talk about central defenders, you know. So
I can't believe Bremer was in the market.
Yeah.
And, like, Tottenham was serious on getting him.
So, you know, everything's rumours and whatever, but you're not going to see... I don't think you're going to see much pen to paper in positions that are currently filled. Yeah. I think the only position where I could see someone coming in without losing a player is in the striking positions.
Yeah.
I could see that happening because we do need another one.
Mm. All right, let's get into it. Our first segment tonight, we're going to be talking about the game that we played against AC Milan in California, the Carlson Stadium, and it was a 2-2 draw, but we went on penalties. It was the coffee maker... The Lavazza server, Pinzolio.
He just made his
Mamma Mia.
He just played his first game for Juventus, even though he's played for us for the last nine years.
The guy's a supplier of Lavazza coffee at the stadium. So, guys, what I took out of this game is very quick movements, but it's a pre-season game.
Yeah, of course.
It's in a very hot part of America again. I'm worried about injuries, but look...
Do you remember our first preseason match of the last season when Pogba played and Di Maria, and we played against that Mexican team and we looked awesome?
Keane looked great.
Like everyone
scored
looked great.
Scored a double against Barcelona a few days later.
Preseasons in sport, honestly, they don't, in a lot of sports, don't really mean a lot. it's usually the time you try and suss out formations.
Yeah.
Clearly, Allegri's not doing that
mm.
So far in that first game. And yeah,
I don't like the idea of going back to America on this tour. Because what happened last year with injuries?
Bad omens.
And it's already started with Rivella, obviously,
yeah.
and that, and then there's a couple yeah. of players. I don't like it.
It all comes down to money, I think. It's money. Yeah.
It's huge money spinning tour.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, unfortunately.
US dollar. So, Mark, what would you like to talk about in this game?
You touched on it before, and I think it's inevitable, at least to begin. I think this is the way the season's going to start. What I'm alluding to is the formation 3-5-2. He ended the season that way.
Yeah, he started again.
He's got the cattle at the moment to persist with a 3-5-2. Yep. Weyer, for instance, he's almost a like-for-like, but 10 years younger version of Cuadrado. Yeah. He's solid defensively, but explosive going forward, so he'll cover you. You can't play him as a right back, not at the moment anyway, until he gets some experience and sharpens up his defensive game.
Yeah, definitely.
So you play him as a wing back. Kostic on the other side, he's very much in that same category. You really, I would, but Max wouldn't trust him as a left back.
Yeah.
So that means you're forced to play 3-5-2. Danilo really works well in a back three, not really strong as a central defender or a right back. So what do? You use him as a hybrid. So at the moment, anyway, I think it's 3-5-2 until about September, October. Obviously, that has its drawbacks. I'm not going to labour the point, but it means Chiesa plays as a seconda punta or a number 10, call it what you want. He's not playing in his favoured right forward position, front three. And also means Vlahovic is probably, if that's his starting striker, is starved of service.
Again. And I didn't see much about Moise Kean. I don't know. I just think this guy doesn't give enough and doesn't do enough. For the chances he has, it should be, but look.
Yeah.
What can I say? Gatti looked good.
Yeah.
Gatti looked good.
Yeah. It seemed like the same old defenders scoring. But then, like I said, preseason game, look at the Milan goals. Though, like, if that happened,
Milan's becoming a USA national team, aren't they?
Those type of goals don't happen in normal games. Let's be honest.
The other issue I see with 3-5-2 is, do we have enough depth in the back three? We've certainly got enough to start Danilo, Bremer, Gatti.
Yep.
And maybe Sandro to replace Gatti.
Cambiaso, which...
But he'll be more of a left wing back.
And they're saying he might be lying down.
Who plays in those back three? Can you rely... Bonucci's been ostracised. Can you rely week in... Or not week in, week out, but can you rely if a Bremer or a Gatti were to be injured?
Rugani?
Can you rely on a Rugani?
No, you can't, but he's shown a bit, you know.
I'll be honest with you, my opinion on it, I would trust Rugani because really we're going to be in Serie A and
Coppa Italia.
And that's it. You're only playing every Sunday.
It actually is fine.
Yeah.
If you're going to start saying, you're also playing Champions League as well, that's where it becomes a bit more like, again, we've seen some of Rugani, but not in those super high pressure matches.
Yeah.
But see, this is the issue I have. If you're only playing every 7 days, doesn't that give the coach more than enough ample time to try and play another system to get the best out of his attacking players?
I agree with you.
Absolutely.
4-3-3. There's 7 days. Sorry to sound elementary, but there are seven days in the week.
Yeah.
You are playing on only one of those. You are training for six.
Yeah.
You're not playing every three or four anymore like years gone by, so it's hard.
Yeah, they'll play two at most.
Instill a change in formation, etc., because you're playing so frequently. Here, you're training for six, playing for one. Isn't now the time to start thinking about that and implementing a 4-3-3?
Yeah, and would probably could potentially extend Allegri into another season, like not losing his job. You're right. I think, but the plus side is if he does screw it up, he's definitely going to.
And that's another thing too, Mark. And
this will
he might get the boot.
And this could, and I'll tell you something. If it goes pear shaped,
yeah,
he could get the boot mid season.
He could absolutely
any time during the season,
especially because. Again, I raise that point. We're only playing every 7 days. So as pessimistic as you are, Ricardo, we're only concentrating on one thing this season.
Yeah,
that's right.
And with the squad we have...
Yeah. We should be able to
And
do it.
The squad our competition has. Yeah. Yeah. Take Napoli, for instance, new coach.
Yeah.
I won't go
Inter's
through
lost
all.
Multiple
Inter's
players.
Lost players.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, as pessimistic as you want to be, surely...
We should have a big jump.
Surely we can go top two or three.
Yeah, easy.
Four in a canter.
Yeah.
So if we are fifth, sixth, or seventh,
that's not
come Christmas time.
Not a pass. No.
Really,
way.
You got to be.
You got to question his coaching for sure.
Go for the bullet to the head, don't
you?
I
would. Really, who's the only team that's benefited now so far? Roma's strengthened their squad. Lazio's lost SMS. Inter's lost three or four players, plus they got debts coming out of their cooler sideways, right? AC Milan. Is a big question mark.
Yeah.
And Napoli's lost their coach. And you know,
I
like,
think AC Milan.
And the Korean defender to Bayern Munich.
That's it. Mm. So, like, we should be with the squad we've got.
Absolutely.
Top, at least top three. Have to be.
Yeah. I'd not just saying it because I'm a Juventus supporter and I'm competitive, but I think we should, because there's so many of those teams in the Champions League.
That's the other thing.
The stronger teams anyway, apart from Roma, I think one or two is a must. It's the first two. I wouldn't even go down to three or four. We should get so much of a jump throughout that period where
September,
even Roma's
October,
playing.
Yeah.
We should get so much of a jump that by the time... You know,
at least round 8 to 9 to 10, we'll know straight away.
Like, by November, once Milan, Napoli, Inter have played by that stage, what will it be? Maybe 20 games already, and we've played 10 or 11.
Yeah.
We should know where we're going to.
There shouldn't be any excuse.
There's no excuse. Exactly. Yeah. But anyway, we've digressed. Maybe we go back to this Milan match. So that was the big takeaway for me. Chiesa looked okay as the seconda punta, but. That's his position.
No, it's not. Look, the upside on Chiesa that he looks really happy, but we don't know because
he might have a deal in the bag.
Yeah, that's it. He's waiting for his passport to be stamped and move on. But
it's an interesting one. Like I feel that if he had something signed up and ready to go and done. I still feel that Juventus probably wouldn't want to play him in case he got injured. When talking,
but they want to showcase him if they're selling you. You want to showcase you.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But what I'm saying is, I don't think there's a verbal agreement yet. Because if there was, I don't think that they would play him. I'm not saying they're not going to sell him. He is too.
Well,
you think about it. Like, you're going to the US, you're playing there, and you're playing in a preseason.
What's Pogba over there for?
Yeah.
The Instagram. That top, did you see that top?
Oh,
that top there looks absolutely. It's like a Hot Wheels on steroids.
Yeah, that's the third.
Third
top for the season,
is
or
it?
The one that we used.
I don't know, but
regardless,
I think the guy who invented that was on acid trips. He went to a rave and just lost it. Peaking hard.
Well, there's your answer. Pogba's there to showcase it and model it.
Oh, mate.
I don't know what it's called, but I heard about recently. I heard about this drug that comes from Colombia.
Go for it. Is this Anthony's voice of the week?
You know what? I should keep it for. Let's do it. Yeah, that's actually a great idea.
Hang on, you've got to keep it.
So my wife told me a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Pretty scary shit. There's this drug, and straight away I said to her, oh, what? You know, cocaine. She goes, no, there's actually this drug that's in Colombia that they find in these plants. And when they pick it out of this plant, it's pretty scary stuff. But
it's like Datura, is it?
Apparently. There's something in this flower that you can, like, you could basically just throw it into someone's face or put it into their drink or something. And it...
Just playing Anthony's song in the background.
Basically, if I did it to one of you guys and then said, boys, take me out and drive me to Adelaide, you'll do it no matter what. Basically, it's like you're still conscious, but you're like hypnotized.
Like peaking, but you're just...
And you've got to do it. And you'll do anything that anyone says. It's pretty scary shit. But anyway, I feel that the person that designed that top might have had some of that.
Oh, no, we said this in a group chat.
And then someone and a kid came up to him and goes, have a look at my Hot Wheels box. Can you do something on the top? Right? And also, I love Harry Potter, so make it look like wizard sleeves. And they designed it because that is an awful top. Oh. But then again, you know what? In saying all of that,
€249, I think, a pop.
You know, in saying that flares have been in for a while now.
Not the flares, but
people wear baggy clothes now. I think it's one of those type designers that have gone, let's do a sports shop that's baggy, a sports top. It's almost like it's a, you know, an NFL top or something. With long sleeves.
So, what's your advice of the week then?
My advice is the marketing group at Juventus.
They're all triplers, mate.
Honestly, the marketing group. I understand there's money involved in all these type of things.
No one's going to buy this top, man. I'm telling you.
You know what the thing is? People will buy it, and that's why they're doing these type of things.
Mate.
But honestly,
lost it.
I highly doubt that the majority of Juventus fans would prefer that type of top or the previous ones that have come out than what people like. When it comes to advertising, this is my advice.
Okay.
When it comes to advertising, band shirts for various genres have never changed. And there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Because people don't really care. All they'll care about is, oh, that's cool. It's not a black top. Oh, yeah, it's a green top or something different. That's cool. But we're not really changing it too much. Don't fuck with with the proper... method.
Yeah.
Just tweak it.
How hard is it?
Just tweak it. Yeah. Go back to old things.
Matte black, gloss, just...
Change the neck.
Yeah.
How the neck is.
Yeah.
Change the material. Yeah. Change that stuff. Don't stuff around with a method that people still love. A traditional thing. And that's it. That's my advice for the week. Thanks for triggering.
I'm clapping this one because that's Anthony's advice of the week. Yeah. But
thanks for triggering it because honestly, I was thinking of doing something else.
I'm just going to say to you guys, right? How hard is it? Black and white. Right? If you want to go back to originally what we were pink and black. But how the hell can you freaking stuff it up?
Yeah.
And you know, a couple of years ago, did you remember that pink one that we had a couple of years back? It was pink, white, and black. It was in 2015, I think it was, or 16. There was a Pharrell Williams one that came out.
Yeah.
And it was like a kid
got
crayon or wet paint and did it. Guys, that's when they lost it. What are they doing?
You know what the problem is? They're going to designers that, in my opinion, they don't design soccer tops.
No.
Right? They design other stuff.
Like streetwear.
Streetwear or whatever it might be.
So this comes back, guys, to why I say Juventus, when they changed their logo, they went straight away downhill because ever since they did that, they try to implement all this cool stuff. It does not work.
No, it doesn't. That's
done from day dot. This is coming in now and you want to be this. Hey, guys, I look at Bayern Munich. I look at even Liverpool. I look at other clubs in the world. They don't stuff around with their jerseys.
Real Madrid's
a perfect example.
Yeah.
Class. Every year, there's a top comes out. I like it. I want it.
Similar.
And what about Juventus? It's like, let's do a what do you call it? The pink line, black on one side. Mate, let's get something straight.
Yeah, that's right.
Kappa have got it in the bag by a mile. Lotto kicked it. And even Nike, to a certain degree, knocked it out of the park.
The thing is also, even though Bayern Munich is with Adidas.
Yeah, they've been from day dot, yeah.
Even though there's that, the thing is Adidas clearly does quite strange stuff and it works with their streetwear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they just... So the thing is, a company like Adidas won't go, oh, no, no, we won't do it. They're daring to do it.
Yeah.
So, like, Bayern Munich, their marketing people wouldn't let it happen, but we do.
But do you know what it is? Guys, you know...
And Adidas would embrace it because they do classic, yeah. But they do...
So if they're saying that, if we're saying all this, they've got originals. Adidas originals are the best of the best. Yeah, yeah. I don't care what anyone says. The 70s and 80s and probably a little bit early 90s, they kick ass in their fashion does. Please tell me something. Go back to them doing it for you, then doing these idiots that are taking acid trips or mushrooms.
No,
be honest with you.
Yeah, don't
destroy something that is us Juventus supporters. We die for the top of
the end. They're gonna suffer out of it.
And, of course, and you know the home jersey. I tell you, this home jersey this season will be one of their worst of all time. I'm telling you that.
We're really regressing in that department.
No,
we have, mate. That's just gotten. It all started off with that top, and I know, I know you guys might have bought it or liked it, but it all started off when we had Pjanic and Ronaldo.
And that top
won the half.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. It all started there.
From there.
Yes, the half
time. I agree with you.
We were all like, why the hell aren't there proper stripes?
Yeah.
But it's crazy to think that that one is bearable now because of how bad the next ones have come.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So I would still buy
it. So this one is a cross between Tony Montana and taking his Coke and with his fluffy pillows.
The only good thing is at least it's just a promotional top. It's not actually one that... You know, the players might wear it. I don't know. But
the away jersey is nice. I like it because it incorporates the pink, the black, and the white. And the third one that's coming out.
Like Carlton Blues bringing out the M&M tops.
St. Kilda did it as well.
Or whatever it might be.
Look, at the end of the day, that was Anthony's advice, and I totally agree.
Yeah.
Now,
look, at the end of the day, each to their own. I'm sure there's going to be people that will buy it, but they're probably the people that might just buy it because
you wonder, though, why isn't the club. They're a business, right?
Yeah.
Businesses do market research.
Yeah, yeah.
Go to your market. Who's your market at a sporting club? Your fans. And say, hey, what do you think of this top? What do you think of these tops? What do you think of this change in logo? Here's the old logo, and this is what it means, the history, et cetera, et cetera. Here is the new logo. What does that new logo mean to you? I've done many market research sessions as a university student and the like, and... You give good, honest feedback on a product. Mm. Why aren't they doing the same thing?
I know. With this? I know what it is. We have this the song Sabotage.
Yeah, mate.
I promote these trucks ever since we started the podcast.
Yeah,
I reckon it's the prosciutto trucks. They've gone COVID. The COVID hit stuffed them. I reckon that the people that run these prosciutto Panini trucks have said we need to start getting people in that like having the munchies. So let's get psychedelic tops.
Yeah.
Let's start. We're
doing the market research.
Right, they are. I'm telling you. It's Giovanni at one of the stands has said, let's start getting in these different type of people that take opium plants that we're talking about in Coca.
And I'll say, do you remember the old Sub Zeros, the drinks used to buy at the clubs? Spike days a bit and just.
That is what they're doing, guys.
So this drug, I want to get back. Maybe we talk about it off air, but
quickly, I don't know what it's called.
It's hypnotic, and it gets you to do.
Yeah,
you are conscious.
There we go.
But it gets you to do.
They're doing it to the marketing
something
team.
That you may or may not
want to do, but you have
to
do it.
The scary part is the fact that I shouldn't say if, but when this drug becomes big here, it's going to be unfortunately, it's probably going to be in the nightclubs a lot, and bars, and there's going to be people taking advantage of people.
Is it AKA
the scary
Ultra?
Thing is, this is what has been happening so far.
Yeah.
They've been saying that with this drug, people have been slipping it into people's, you know, drinks and stuff, and then telling them, hey, you know, let's go get some money from the ATM, and they just clean them out.
Wow.
That's what's been happening.
All right. Thank you for that, guys. It really was a very informative part of the podcast,
it's
that one.
Very scary times.
So
it's from Colombia. I find it coincidental.
Let's
I'll get back to it after.
No.
Cuadrado. Yes.
He sabotaged it. Yep. It's come on the market just as Cuadrado.
He's spewing because he can't have prosciutto sandwiches outside the Turin. Turin or
Great. We're going to hit the new segment of the podcast.
Oh, boom! It's
question without notice. Marco Juventino.
Well, it's all happening. We're talking about shit tops, prosciutto sandwiches. It's all going on. It's going off on this show.
And it's Mark's question without notice.
Feel free to play this for another 2 minutes. It takes me back to 1988. Great time, great band, great music.
Sebastian. Oh, yeah.
So I'll stick in that. Oh, no, I won't stick in that era. That was a fantastic era.
Go for it, mate. It's your segment, yeah?
You can tell this is a question without notice because I'm thinking on my feet.
go for it, buddy. Go.
Question without notice, even for Mark.
Just get the henchkey, mate. You will be all right.
The henchkey.
There we go. I've thought of it.
Go.
I'm going to give you four names. Paul Pogba,
yep.
Version 1.
All right, version 1.
Arturo Vidal. Claudio Marchisio.
Marchisio.
Andrea Pirlo.
Okay.
They all started in midfield together for a very good patch of our recent history, 2012, 13, 14.
Yep.
Choose one. Tell me, who would you choose and why?
Who's going first? Ant, do you want to go first? I'll go first.
Or? Go first. Yeah.
Okay. So only one you got to pick. Okay.
One.
Well, that's Pirlo. Creativity. Mm. Never seen a player that has so much poise on the ball and looks like he's in poetry in motion. Mm. He's Mozart on steroids. That's what I say.
Play looks slow with him whenever on the
ball. Every time he had the ball, and how many games do we see, even for the Italian national team?
Yeah.
You can go on YouTube, watch his highlights.
Yeah, yeah.
He had 3-4 plays, and he'll nutmeg him. And i.e., that semi against Germany.
Yeah.
And he cut the ball to Grosso, man. But the way he just did it back, you know, mate, this guy plays PlayStation, man.
That whole game was unbelievable. Oh, like, the whole game that ridiculous. He played in that tournament. If you watch the highlights of that tournament, that is by far the best tournament he's ever played.
Oh.
Played in.
And well, even the Euros, he turned it on.
Yeah, Euros was awesome too. Yeah,
he did. Euros. He did. There were some games, even against England. I mean, do you remember when he kicked it from halfway? And it was the English goalkeeper who was running back. And you go, they've got a mic at the back, and he's saying, hey, fuck. He's just going off. Because Pirlo's Pirlo, man. But going back to Juventus,
it was
amazing to have him.
He's one of those. He's definitely one of those players that you don't get a lot of.
Once in a generation.
Yeah,
It is, and it's sad because we lack it in probably Juventus and Italy. Yeah. We lack that type of player.
We got him because of Allegri. Because that's why he came, because they had a falling out at
Milan.
And then
he ended up playing for us.
So we got lucky there.
We got very lucky.
I put him up in generation, you know, as you said, generational players. And I put him up there with your likes of, you know, Baggio, Viali.
Yeah, Del Piero.
Del Piero.
Just insane about Pirlo,
Zidane,
guys.
Zidane, Trezeguet.
I do recall when he was at Brescia, at Regina, all the other clubs. Because I used to watch... Every time Juventus play, I'll have the Italian channel, Ray International, watching La Giostra di Gol, watching, you know, highlights of other games. I used to see a young Pirlo, and I always said to myself, this guy has got something really special about him.
Yeah.
And mind you, he had a lot of great plays at the, even when Baggio was at Brescia and
other Pep Guardiola.
Gola, you know, like, people don't realise he had a lot of good players as a young kid going through the system, but then when he went to Milan, he really... took that step forward. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Talking about Pep Guardiola, actually, just coming up, I saw an article today saying that if Roberto Baggio was playing right now in any league, he didn't just say Italy, because in any league, he goes, Roberto Baggio would score 50 goals.
Really?
That's what he said. Too. Yep.
Pep said, he goes, the reason why I say that is because, and we all know it, and it makes sense, he goes, the defence... in those times against Baggio,
it was so good.
Was unbelievably difficult, right? Yeah. And he basically said he could just go, if he went into all the other leagues, because because he's basically, in a nutshell, saying even Italy at the moment still has some of the best defense in all the leagues.
Yeah.
He goes, he could be anywhere. He could be at Manchester City, whatever. It doesn't matter. He goes, he doesn't have to be at a team like Manchester City. He could be at any, and he would do it because he was scoring so many goals with an injured leg, and you know,
he was.
Playing Bartio, the best
defense. Guardiola and him were like Paisan. They were best friends.
Pretty good friends, weren't they?
Yeah, and just insane that. I agree with you. I agree with these comments because it's phenomenal.
It's a good thing to throw up because you'd think with your question as well. Like, what are the exceptions in your question as well? Just to reiterate, like, are there any exceptions of? Is there any player?
Oh, it could be any player, but only one of those four, and they were all brilliant. Yeah. But for different reasons. Vidal, for instance, at that time.
So you're four of Vidal.
Pogba, version one, Marquisio,
and Pirlo.
Pirlo was brilliant. He was creative. He, no matter how attacking or fast an opponent was, whenever the ball was at his feet, he never lost it, and play looked to seem to slow down. Vidal, on the other hand, back then, he was probably the best box-to-box midfielder in the world.
Yeah, he was.
His energy was phenomenal. Put it this way. Pirlo says in his biography that they would train, and what would Vidal do after an intense training session?
Go for a run?
No.
He'd go on a three-hour horse ride.
Wow.
What?
He had that much energy to burn. Yeah. That's so Vidal was phenomenal back then for a small window, but he was great.
Yeah.
Pogba was extremely good as well, and Marquisio was the prince.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, guys. That's just the coffee machine trying to.
For me, I'd like straight away though. I would eliminate Vidal and Pogba.
Marquisio?
No, Pogba.
Marquisio would be my second.
Because the reason why I would say that. Is because of the Vidal. Look, Vidal probably a little bit, but I'd probably put Pogba last, honestly.
Yeah, to be honest. Yeah, I would too. Yeah.
A second? No, no, second
I'd put him last.
You kick him out first, same here.
We're talking about all round, right? We're talking about defensively scoring. So defensively, already you'd take Pogba out because defensively he's the worst. Vidal and Pirlo and Marquisio were all great. But then we talk about the goal scorers. Yes, Vidal could score. Yes, Marquisio could score.
Pirlo, by far,
was a better scorer.
Freak, mate.
Not just because of free kicks, but even just in general.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a player... there was a doco that I watched a couple of years back, just after he retired, Pirlo, when he played for New York. And he went in and visit Jorginho, the Brazilian. The Jorginho, the one that played at Lyon, I remember.
And Middlesbrough.
Yeah. No. Jorginho, who played at Lyon.
Oh, yes.
Because he based his free kicks on him.
Yeah.
He got to meet him in Brazil. Actually, it was during the World Cup as well. Go back. It was at the World Cup because it was in Brazil. He met him and they had a chat and they did an interview with him. Pirlo based his free kicks on his style. Indeed. And you know what? Yeah. He was a freak at Lyon. I remember.
He
did some awesome free kicks. Pirlo, kick for kick, if you get them by them, you know, in a side-by-side comparison, you couldn't pick it.
Yeah.
Very, very good.
And then I would probably say Vidal's third, even though he had an exceptional little part and...
He was a dirty... Like, he dirty... All the dirty play...
Too aggressive.
His disciplinary record had some question marks.
Like, even when we go and talk about aggressive players, yes, like, you'd love to have an aggressive player like, you know, a Davids or a Gattuso. You always need those players.
Montero?
Yeah, Montero. You always need those players. But I just feel as a full all round again, I think I'd probably pick Marchisio. Pirlo, yeah,
Marchisio was the dirty little pig that will go and pick up the scraps.
He did a lot of dirty
work. He always do it.
Yeah, but he was also creative. He was a goal-scoring midfielder. He was a real good all rounder.
Really, Locatelli should be that type of player, like Marchisio.
Yes,
but we're not quite seeing it because
he's playing the register.
Because we don't have a Pirlo.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, and this is where the problem is with Pogba. Because we rely on that player, but he's not that player.
No.
It's gone.
So, yeah, I'd pick Pirlo. But
Pogba was quite spurt in that era.
Yeah, he was.
But if there was one player that you could inject into that and make a top five and would beat Pirlo, it'd be Hernandez. He's my man.
Oh, no.
He's my man.
With or without the mustache.
Don't.
He could have anything on him and I'd put him as number one.
Oh, mate.
Hey, Pirlo based his whole life, not just soccer career, his whole life around Hernandez.
Oh, does he have six kids as well, Pirlo?
Six? Yeah. What does Hernandez do?
He's got a winery. He's got a winery.
Oh, what does Pirlo do? Oh, he's got a winery as well. There you go, mate.
The similarities are endless.
Next podcast.
In movies together.
I want to put a segment in the next podcast. The player that you'd love to have a wine with.
Yeah, Hernandez.
Wine or beer?
Oh, look.
No, we'll say wine is your top notch, beer's in between.
Oh, yeah.
And then the grappa is the third, yeah? The one you just go, freaking drink it.
I already know who I want to have a beer with.
No,
Let's keep it.
It was a unanimous decision.
Round
there.
Applause for the first
Did you question
without notice.
Well. Hands down.
Yeah.
So that's
there we go.
We all got a segment now. So
TKO there.
All right.
Unanimous decision.
So before we get into trades, it's coming.
The Reds.
Oh, three in a row here. Advice. Question of the week.
It's got to happen.
Ricardo's rant.
It's got to happen. Because I'm a little bit, I don't know.
You've got.
Is stupid a word that sums up your coach and committee? I don't know.
There's a lot of pressure here. You've had two amazing segments.
No, you're probably going to kill mine, but I just need to rip this one. All right? Yeah, they're coming out to Australia with Def Leppard, and we're going to be there. It's Ricardo's off-season rant. So let me start by saying one of the most stupidest videos I saw in the last few days was a competition between Max Allegri and Vlahovic. Mm. Bare feet. Mm. One was in socks, one was in bare feet. Mm. A guy that so-called's got osteopubis, OP, call it what you will, who thought of that stupid contest? I mean, you put your groin under more strain by kicking a ball without any shoes.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay? So, my second part to this is, I've been seeing Moise Keane. They said he's lost a bit more weight. You know what? Don't give me that shit.
It's not 22% better this year.
No, it's Mark II Tour 2 of America, 2.0. Now we get the same shit again. My third one is, this one really I'm pretty pissed, is the story and rumours are going about Ravella being loaned out again. Mm. Okay?
Disgraceful.
I get it that there's been some people talking about his injuries prior to going to Monza. Yeah, he had injuries. Okay? But don't tell me the season that he's just had with the Monza and the quality of ball that he gives. Are we stupid to loan him out or sell the player?
Mm-mm.
I'm telling you, I'm even more pissed to hear about Soler and all these other players. There are a list of players before these guys get looked at, I reckon.
Also, if the injury was bad, he'd actually be a first-team player because that's what we do.
Well, you'll be thinking about he'll be on playing this tour, yeah? He'll be starting, okay? But my rant to end the rant is please get rid of i.e. Sandro, McKennie, Bonucci, other players, and get your left-back and right-back that we need and do something because... We're 2 to 3 weeks away from the start of the season and we've got all these question marks. Mm-hmm. So that's my rant. Guys, any more, please do add.
Yeah, he's not injured enough, man. He's got to get more injured.
No, it's just, it is ridiculous.
Is Arturo done deal?
He's gone, but the money is, we're paying a big chunk of his wage.
80% of his wage.
But the interesting thing is, if he is gone, then why is Ravella not, like, kind of like, not that we need a replacement for Arturo, but why would Ravella also be gone? Like,
because they're saying there's too many in the midfield, and he's one of the ones that they're thinking of.
Yeah, but is there too much in the midfield? Like, we've got Pogba, that doesn't count as a player.
Well, right, they're
Zakaria.
It doesn't. Yeah, Zacharias, we're struggling to get rid of him as well. But also, you need to remember, I get that these guys are worth a lot, but it's pretty bad to think, right, that they would rather play McKennie, right? Because McKennie and Zacharias are probably a lot different to Ravella. The fact is that they were unwanted players. Ravella went to Monza to get more experience in Serie A. McKennie and Zakaria and Artur were loaned out because they were outcasts. So how would it make Ravella feel that those guys are going to come back in the team, right? And then Ravella's going to get loaned back out after he's been told to come back in and be a part of the project? I think that's
don't know.
That's shit management.
It
really is. It doesn't make sense. Those guys, if we can't sell them, they go on the bench, in my opinion. They are literally like, yeah, you'll play if you get injured because you either haven't wanted to go to another team, especially Zakaria because he was talking shit. Weston McKennie, different story, but Zakaria and Artur were talking shit about us when they left. They should not be given a chance to come back, in my opinion.
But they're still contracted to the club, so it's like a bad smell. You just can't get rid of it.
Look, it is, but what I'm trying to say is if Ravella is the future, make him your future. Don't go, you become a plan B. How does that make a player feel?
How does he
that
feel? All,
that makes you feel like... Yeah. Well, I've had a great season at Monza. Fucking better than all of those guys put together.
Yeah.
Mm.
What do I need to do to crack
it? It seems like they're doing like Fagioli Mark II with him, but because Fagioli, if I'm right, was it two seasons or a season? And I can't remember.
But he's been brought back. That's the problem.
Yeah, but the thing is, Ravella hasn't been given a go. That's what
and Fagioli only really let's just cut to the chase. Fagioli only got into that first team because of injuries to other players.
That's right. And Moretti is another one too. Yeah. So what do you
Pogba
do?
Pogba was a great transfer.
What do you do you there
for Fagioli's career?
Yeah, it was great.
Moretti is another one because they're saying that like clubs like Salernitana, there's a couple other clubs that want
to actually buy him,
outright
because they know if they buy him, there's a potential for them to make. Some few money. Million.
So they're willing to hang on to a player like Pogba.
Yeah, right? I know. That's why why the management is stupid.
Honest truth is, guys, hand on your heart. Do you honestly believe that Pogba can do something with Juventus? Honestly.
I very much doubt it. Look, I think he can every now and then.
Yeah, bits and pieces.
I really stress those
selfish
words.
Player, mate. Mercenary.
It's just going to be sporadic. We saw that in May when he played well against, I think it was Atalanta.
What?
He came on as a second half sub in the first leg semi final against Seville.
Yeah.
And we saw 20, 30 minutes
that's all.
Of something very impressive.
Yep.
And then a few days later, he got injured.
Yeah.
You're just not going to get it consistently.
It's a lot of money for a super sub.
Big time. Mm. Who gives you 400 minutes a season?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do more on our podcasts in.
In preseason.
Yeah, exactly.
But the thing that I think the club needs to understand is that he's your marquee player from last year. He's been injured. He's selfish. He didn't take the option for the operation. He wanted to play the World Cup. He's done this to himself.
Yeah.
And then the social media stuff on top of it just puts more, pishatsa to the wound. Now,
in 7 weeks, this podcast has given more minutes than Pogba did in a year.
No, well,
we're giving more to Juventus and the fans than Pogba. It's, seriously, He should. You know what we should do?
We should put
him in the marketing team.
Yeah.
So at least he's worth something.
Yeah.
But he's probably still going to design something crap, isn't he?
No, I just think that come January, when the market's open again, I think Juventus need to have a good hard look and say, "Hey, mate, it ain't working. Maybe you should go and take that offer."
You know what? Another thing is too. Hopefully, with Juntoli, you know, because he's not dumb enough to make those decisions. So hopefully, as time goes by in the next couple of years, we get rid of all the dead wood and we don't make mistakes with our youth.
They should make it. You know, you should make a marquee player for the club. Honestly, he's a player like Locatelli for Jolly for future.
Yes,
Gut. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm saying. These should be your future, like your marquee players. Yeah.
But you got to remember that we had foreign players as well in the Champions League when we last won it. There's still room for your, you know, Timothy Ware and, you know, Soles and who's that other guy? The Canadian guy, Jonathan David.
We need
someone that's got two first names. Like, let's change it up here. It hasn't worked with the Argentinians.
No, it has not.
It has not worked there. Juntoli's trying to get, like, this Uruguayan kid. That's good.
Yeah, he's good.
We haven't had enough Uruguayans.
We've had a good history of Uruguayans.
We
have.
We had Bentancur, Montero.
Zalajeta.
That's what I'm saying. Juntoli's going back to basics.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. But when was the last Uruguayan we had apart from Bentancur? That was a long time ago. Bentancur didn't work.
No, he didn't.
He didn't. So what I'm saying is that maybe we need to go down that path. It's the wrong...
Or a Canadian.
Blue and white.
Here's some homework for all of us, myself included. Has Juventus ever had in its history a Canadian player?
No.
I've got a Canadian friend. I might ask her.
Yeah,
no.
She knows jack shit about soccer, though, so I'm not going to ask her.
And do you know what I heard? You know this Uruguayan kid that's coming. I've heard from Uruguayan friends of mine, and on the social media side, they all think it's a big mistake for him to come to Juventus at his age. It's going to hinder his career. They said that he's better off in Spain or Portugal.
Or Holland.
Mate, that's just really sad to hear that.
Because
Bentancur didn't work. Mm. Certain games it did, but I think Max too, because remember he used to put him on the 80th.
Yeah, 85th minute.
There was a long time. It took him a long time, but you got to remember the time he came in would have been harder to break in than now. I think he was put in pretty well. Considering the circumstances, I actually thought that he got blooded in quite well.
Okay.
But the problem is he started making mistakes when he should have been better at that point.
Yeah.
That's the issue. I don't actually think we ruined him. I actually think he started... Once he got complacent with his position. His position never got challenged by the time he became a first-team player.
That's true.
And because of that, he started making some bad mistakes.
He got complacent as well.
Exactly, like a lot of our team. So I don't think we did anything bad with him. We did, though, with players like Kulusevski. They weren't done right, you know, and even Soler now, we're seeing it's not getting done properly. That's my opinion.
So in saying that, the transfer talk in next week or two is going to be interesting for us anyway, because we've got players that have to leave. who is going to leave? If they don't leave, we're basically going to be
kicked
in the nuts again.
And if you're stuck abroad, then what ends up happening is they have to go to teams in Serie A, and we don't really want that as well. But that's probably what's going to happen.
I think Zachary's a chance of leaving, but we've probably got to take a haircut on the selling price.
We
want 20. I think we'll get 15.
Yeah, no one wants to pay.
They're saying Monaco's coming in.
Mm. West Ham were close.
Didn't we get Zachary for like 12 anyway?
Five.
Well, five.
So it's a profit.
15, just do it.
Yeah. McKennie could be the more challenging one, in my opinion. Yeah. Because he hasn't...
Yeah, that's, I agree with you.
His form's really plateaued. He was on a nice trajectory 2-3 years ago, and he was going up slowly. But he hasn't really done much in the last 12, 18 months.
That's a shame.
So people have probably got a big question mark against his name. Mm. So we will probably, if we do sell, have to sell at a loss. We bought him for 20, I believe. But I wouldn't be surprised if come 30 August we're still scratching our heads and they're there and they might move on that last day on a loan or something like that, but we're still paying their wage and it's just a...
Mm.
Yeah, it's...
Not a really favourable outcome for the club.
Yeah, it's not great. But you know what? Yeah, if it could even be one of those part wage things, and that's better than nothing, isn't it? And then when it expires, they're going to go for free. Mm, mm. So we'd love to sell players.
Do you know what sums it up? I heard this during the week. I'll just play. It's a bit of a laugh, guys. Just growing up Italian. Your nonna or whatever, mum talking to friends, and I'll just play this little intro. If it comes through. Okay, just give us 2 seconds. And this is growing. It's called Growing Up Italian. It's on Instagram, guys. So tell me what you think about this.
In Italy, we don't say, don't interrupt me anymore, okay? In Italy, we say,
you know what, guys? That sums up Juventus, I think.
Well, if you want to have a bit more of a laugh, here's a joke without
notes. Go, let's go. Have a bit of a laugh. Come on.
Why did Max Allegri's wife leave him?
Why?
Think about it. What's my biggest gripe? This is an original joke, so it's not going to be that funny.
Something to do with the formation.
Very, very close.
Okay.
You want to have a crack?
No, I go for Mike.
Because he played her out of position.
That's a good one. I like that.
Played her out of position.
That is great. It is good because it's original.
Ah, that's
good. There was another joke, actually. Pinonsoglio or whatever his name is.
Oh, man, this guy. He's got the best job.
He got
job.
Man of the match for Milan versus Juventus.
He did.
He got man of the match. Yeah. And there's a picture of him with the trophy. And he said, I'm going to tell my kids in the future that this was Gigi Buffon in 2006. I was meant to mention it when we were talking about the game, but yeah, that was pretty funny. That joke that he just said is worth the $300,000 along with his saves and
honestly, he's got the best job.
Yeah.
He's the best job, man.
He's got the best job without responsibilities. Like, you know, he's playing as
what
a
is he doing in the rooms, man? I reckon he goes in like he's got his Hawaiian shirt, his glasses, you know.
Big fat cigar.
Like Miami Vice, man, you know. Yeah, Don Johnson, man, walking in, going, come on, guys. What? Lavazza? 2 sugar, 1 sugar? Milk or no milk? What do you want?
Yeah, it's, you know, look, it's a...
Mate.
It must be an interesting thing to talk about the life of a third keeper.
Do you know if we ever get the opportunity and they do tour Australia, hopefully it might be next year.
Yeah, everyone could pay.
If he comes 30 with Euros with the tour, I want to actually personally go up to him and say to him, what is it like to be the official mascot of the Juventus Football Club? And I'm going to say, you got the best job.
It's a fantastic gig.
You know,
it's a good job. You know, it's a good job if you don't want to do a lot.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Not as ambitious as Mbappe, that's for sure.
Mm.
So, guys, next week we're going to probably have more trade talk.
Definitely.
Comes goings. Ants, where do you catch?
Yeah, you can
the podcast.
Catch us at Podbean, Google, Apple, iHeartRadio,
Anchor Spotify.
Anchor Spotify.
And all our social.
Yep.
Which is?
We got Three Juventinos on Facebook.
Yep.
We got JCD Melbourne on Instagram and Twitter.
Twitter. And final thoughts as we go? No. Are you going to watch the Real Madrid game, guys?
Thursday morning, I'll try to.
Try to watch all the highlights?
Yeah, I'll see what's happening. Yeah. Look, I'm. Yeah, it's not. something. It's not like it's a normal game, but we'll see.
Mm.
I'm we'll predicting. I'll predict a 2-0 win to Real Madrid.
I wouldn't be surprised by that.
So they lost 3-2 to Barca, didn't they? No. Was it Barca?
Yeah, it was.
I think so.
Yeah, 3-2.
Anyway, until next week, thank you for listening. This has been the 3 UNTNAs podcast.